Second Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Verse 13. And prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, He was God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. May we learn from the lessons that You have allowed us to know and to read about, Lord. Even from the lesson that happened to Anna Lim tonight, who just passed away. You're the only one, dear God, that has all the answers to that. We don't. But for one thing, Lord, You would like to give us a warning that You are not always in a joking mood, and that we ought to be serious with our Christian lives. How I wish that a lot of our members are here tonight to be able to hear that. Lord, it saddens me, being Your servant, to see what would happen to any one of my members who would turn away from You. It affects me, Lord. Bless Your word tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What can we learn tonight on faith when you read some of these chapters? I'd like you to know that Old and New Testament people get saved by the same condition. They get saved by faith. The New Testament Christians, by faith, look back at what happened 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament believers get saved by faith, looking forward at what will happen on Calvary. Whether it be Adam or Noah or Abraham or Moses, Paul and Peter and all of us, all got saved by faith on the basis of the grace of God. That's why in the Old Testament, God has given the command, even in the time of Adam, to sacrifice a blood offering in the altar. Not to believe that, but to believe that one day the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be sacrificed on the cross and shed His blood. It's a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not believe in what other evangelicals believe, that in every dispensation, there is a different plan of salvation. We call it dispensational salvation. That during Noah's time, it was a different plan of salvation. Abraham's time, and Moses' time, and even Peter's time and Paul's time, that the plan of salvation was different. No. The Bible is very clear telling us that there is only one plan of salvation given to man. And that plan of salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's cross. We call it atonement in the Old Testament. We call it atonement. The word atonement is an Old Testament word. And the word atonement practically was pictured in the Ark of the Covenant as the mercy seat. The mercy seat is the same word used for the atonement. What is the atonement? The atonement is the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus. Or to make it simpler, it is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. That is substitutionary. That is what we call as a vicarious sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ dying for us on the cross. But when you begin to encounter words in theology, such as the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, or the vicarious atonement of Christ, they're all one and the same. We all speak of Christ dying for us, because if we die in sin. When Jesus died, He died for sin. That's the difference. If I die in my sin. When Jesus died, He died for sin. Jesus did not die in His sin because He's sinless. But Jesus died for my sin. That is the meaning of the word atonement. Or we call it the blood atonement, in which Christ shed His blood on the cross. There are several schools of thought in this area. Some pastors like John MacArthur would like to emphasize more on the death of Christ. Some others would like to emphasize the blood of Christ. And they begin to accuse each other. Like those who emphasize the blood of Christ would accuse John MacArthur of not believing in the blood of Christ, only believing in the death of Christ. But I remember talking to John MacArthur many, many years ago in his office. And I asked him the same question, do you believe in the shed blood of Christ? He said yes. That the death of Christ and the shed blood of Christ are one and the same. The reason why the Lord Jesus Christ died, so that Christ will shed His blood. And that was prophesied in the Old Testament. The reason why Jesus died on the cross, which is the Roman style of capital punishment, is for the Lord Jesus to shed His blood for all the people to see. The capital punishment of the Jewish nation is to die by stoning. And when someone dies by stoning, you do not necessarily shed blood. You can die by stoning, but not necessarily shed blood. When Jesus died on the cross, He was nailed to the cross. The other two teeth were not nailed. They were fastened by ropes to the cross. If I may be able to rewrite history there. And they died of hunger. And they died of of dehydration, and they died of prolonged exposure to the sun. They died of exhaustion. But Jesus was there. He was nailed to the cross. A spear pierced his side. A crown of thorns was put upon his head. For what reason? So that people would see the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, there's only one plan of salvation. And Old Testament believers and New Testament Christians get saved the same way, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what lessons can we get out of these several chapters that you can glean from your Bible reading? And out of the men that were given as examples to us. First of all, faith is personal. It cannot be transferred by religiosity, nor inherited by genealogy. I'll explain that later by using some illustrations. The faith of the Father cannot be transferred to his own children. Cannot be transferred to his own kin. Although, there's a verse in the Bible which says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thine house. But it does not mean that faith is transferred to your children. Abilities and gifts and talents can be transferred to your children by genes. What do you mean by the word genes? I'm not referring to clothing materials. I'm referring to genes, genetics. The talents and abilities and gifts can be transferred by blood, by genetics, but not faith. Why? Because faith is personal. We say, I'm a Catholic, so my children will grow up like Catholics. My apo and all will grow up and die as Catholics. We're not going to change our faith. You might say that. But again, faith is personal. I might tell you that my children grew up as Baptists. They will die as Baptists. But their faith, there's no such thing as a Baptist faith. There's only one kind of faith, the biblical faith. You can have your faith in a Baptist church and you still die and go to hell. And all my children, the faith of my father is not transferred to me. The faith of my mother is not transferred to her own children. Because faith is personal. It cannot be transferred by religiosity, nor inherited by genealogy. How I wish that it can be. But it cannot be. Let me give you some example. Like Hezekiah, in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1 and 2, was so different from his father Ahaz. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 1 and 2. So let's read 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1. It says Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, not the prophet. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, let's go to the father, Ahaz. In 2 Chronicles 28, verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David, his father. Nakita niyo ba ito? Okay. Si Hezekiah, ginawa niya ang tama sa harapan ng Diyos. Nabuhay siya ng tama sa harapan ng Panginoon. Pero yung tatay niya ay nabuhay ng masama. Sa mga tuwid, hindi mo pwedeng i-transfer ang buhay ng ama sa anak kahit na meron ka sa kanyang pinamanang ugali. Because I guarantee you, pag tinanggap mo ang Panginoon sa puso mo at ikay naligtas, mag-iibang ugali mo kaya sa magulang mo na hindi kilala ang Panginoon. Naunawaan niyo ba? Mag-iiba yung pananaw mo sa buhay. Mag-iiba ang buhay mo kaya sa mga magulang mo. Bakit? Sapagkat ang pananampalataya ay ano? Personal. Hindi pwedeng i-transfer yan kahit kanino. It is personal. In 2 Chronicles 28 verse 2, Ahaz walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Ito yung Balaam o Baal na sinasabi na naging Diyos ng Ashtoreth, ng mga what's the tribe there? And then, Israelites got that. And that became their God. Pero hindi sa Hezekiah na kahit na yung kanyang ama ay sinamba ang Diyos-Diyosan. Sinamba si Balaam. At naging masamang tao, sa Hezekiah ay sinamba ang tunay na Diyos at naging mabuting tao. Kaya, hindi pwedeng ang pananampalataya ay ilipat sa mga anak. Faith is personal. Secondly, Manasseh was quite different from his son Amon. Manasseh, another king, was quite different from his son Amon. In 2 Chronicles 33, verse number 21, it says, Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh, his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh, his father, had made, and served them. So Amon did everything evil. Napakasama ng buhay ni Amon. I-compare mo kay Manasseh. In verse 33, look at this. Itong si Amon did what was evil and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh, his father, hath humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more. Si Manasseh naging masamang tao. Si Manasseh hindi sumunod sa Panginoon noong una. Subalit later, siya'y nagpakumbaba at nagsisi. Itong si Amon, naging kasing sama ni Manasseh, subalit hindi siya nagsisi. Hindi siya nabangumbaba. At ang tao, kapag hindi nagsisisi at nabangumbaba, lalong sumasama pa. Kaya ang sabi ng Bible, and Amon trespass more and more. Lalo siyang nabuhay sa Diablo. Sa pagkadala siyang pagsisisi. Now, thirdly, Amon was an absolute contrast to Josiah. Nabasa natin, si Amon ay nabuhay ng masama, hindi siya nag-humble down, hindi siya nagsisi, at lalo siya nagpakasama. Pero look at Josiah. 2 Chronicles 34 verse 1. Itong Josiah, anak ni Amon. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was what? Right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Anong kaibahan ti Amon? Si Amon, nabuhay ng masama at hindi na pag-uba, the Bible says, and he trespassed more and more. When Josiah walked right with God, when Josiah did what was right in the sight of God, he neither declined left or right. He did not sacrifice. He did not compromise. He walked the straight path. Hindi siya nag-lean sa kaliwa. Hindi siya nag-lean sa kanan. He walked straight for the glory of God. Tatlong example sa inyong lahat para makita ninyo. Okay? That faith is personal. It cannot be transferred by religiosity, it cannot be inherited by genealogy. Number two, sometimes the Lord would put a man to severe affliction to bring him to repentance. Bawa matigas ang ulo nito taong to. Nagpapakasama siya. But God looked at this man and God wants to use this man. And God wants to save this man. I believe in God's sovereignty. I believe in the sovereign grace of salvation. I believe in divine election. I believe in the 6 points of the election doctrine. It's not five, it's six. God looked at Manasseh, for example. Itong taong ito, nagsimula sa masama. Nagpakasama. Kung makikita nyo ang kasamaan ni Manasseh, you're going to hate him if you're a Christian. Anong ginawa ni Manasseh? In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse number 3, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. That's verse 5. Verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the son of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And what Manasseh did during his time are very much present today. Sa India, meron pa naglalakad sa apoy. And that is not human power. That's devilish. That's demonic. I mean, lalakad ka sa mga bato na nagbabaga. That's not, don't tell me it's human power. That's demonic. That's evil power. It's the devil giving you the power to do that, and you walk through that. Hindi ka nasasaktan. O humiga ka sa mga pako, o sa mga matutulis. That's evil, and that is what Manasseh did during his time. Use witchcraft. He provoked God to anger. Ito na ang pinakagrabe na magagawa ng isang tao. Ipagpalit mo ang Diyos sa Diablo. Selling his soul to the devil. Ito ang pinakagrabe na magagawa ng isang masama. And verse 7, and he set a carved image, the idol which he had made. Where? In the temple of which God has said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Just imagine, sa mismong gitna ng templo, naglagay doon ang imahe. He was so evil. And worse, he caused all the inhabitants of Israel to err, to follow him. The whole nation followed Manasseh. But look, in the case of Manasseh, you continue reading 2 Chronicles 33, verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. Kinulong siya, ginatore siya, pinarusahan siya, hard labor, incarcerated ang tawag doon, and he was carried to Babylon. And when he was in what? Affliction. He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, He is God. So, kung matigas ang ulo mo, napakasama mo na, sometimes God would put man to severe affliction to bring him to repentance. In the case of Hezekiah, alright, itong si Manasseh, naging masama muna. Diba? Naging masamang masama. Sa kanyang kasamaan, pinarusahan siya ng Panginoon. At doon sa affliction na kanya naranasan, siya ay nagrepent ng kanyang kasalanan at sumampalataya sa isang Diyos. Itong si Hezekiah, iba naman. Si Hezekiah, nagsimula ng tama. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 24. Makikita niyo, ating binasa kanina, Hezekiah did which was right in the sight of the Lord. Nagsimula siya ng tama. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord and spoke unto him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Now, ikwento ko sandali ang nangyari. So Hezekiah did which was right in the sight of God. Tama yung buhay niya. He followed the Lord. He obeyed God. You know what happened when he obeyed God? God blessed him. I mean, in a divided kingdom, Hezekiah was among the richest king. God blessed him so much with riches and so much gold and so much of everything. Why? because he obeyed God, because he lived for God. And I am warning you today, those of you who think you have money, and one day, when he became so rich, he began to boast of his riches. He began to be proud of his wealth. He began to pat his shoulder and say, Hezekiah, you are great. He became so great and he became so proud. He began to forget that it was God who blessed him. But it was not God's intention that you be hindered because of his blessings. Am I right? Hindi tayo pinagpapala ng Panginoon para mahadlangan yung faithfulness mo. And I'm right now warning you here, and listen, if I warn this pulpit, you better get a warning. Because God will test you from this point in time. It's a man of God speaking, folks. It is not just your father in the faith. You become proud of your little success. And you become boastful of your little wealth, so that you let those things hinder your faithfulness, your soul winning, your prayer time, your involvement in the house of God. I guarantee you, God does not sleep. He will teach you a lesson that you will not forget in your whole lifetime. Believe you me, I know my God. Do you know yours? Do you know your God? Therefore, sabi, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem, because he was the king, he was the leader. Hindi lamang nagkaroon ng galit sa kanya, pero ang Diyos ay nagalit sa kanya, hindi lang sa kanya, kundi sa buong kingdom niya. And I guarantee you here, breadwinners, kayong mga ama ng tahanan, kayong mga ina ng tahanan, na mukhang nakakalimutan ninyo na ang bawat pagpapala ng galing sa Diyos, I guarantee you, when you begin to be proud, it's not only you, it includes your family. But thank the Lord did not let go. The Lord did not tell Hezekiah, okay, ganyan ka na pala, I'll leave you alone. But you know, he did that to Ephraim. Ephraim has gone to idols, let him alone. But God did not let go. Amen? Because in verse 26, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the what? For the pride of his heart. Both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. My friends, listen to this. You know, God has raised me up and made me a congressman in my district. But I am not only a congressman. I am one of the more important members of the House. I am not just one of the more important. I am one of the most powerful members of the House. I am not only that. I am close to the president of this nation. I am not only that. I am right there in the very gates of the palace. I am not only that. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the president called me up just to tell me, I'm going to the States, pray for me. That's how powerful your pastor is. But hey, listen, if I become proud, if I become boastful, if I begin to look at my position and forget my calling, and forget my pulpit, and forget this world, and forget this church, and get a out and be backslidden. If God will not kill me, He'll put me down. And God will make me an example of His judgment in this country. God today is making me an example and a testimony of righteousness. A pastor came here at 4 in the afternoon. He is a charismatic pastor. And he came here and said, "Pastor, you don't know me, but I know you." And he said, "You are one of the most righteous leaders of this nation. And we depend on you. We believe in you. We will uphold you in prayers." And my dearly beloved, it is not just the Baptist churches. It's all evangelical churches all over this nation doing like this man. And you better pray for me. I will uphold the word of God in my life until my dying day. That's why I'm asking you to help me. To be partners with me. To lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And to put for the testimony of righteousness in this land that God loves so much. My country, the Philippines, is not a God-forsaken country. God loved this nation. I passed through this in my life. God humbled me. God humiliated me. So I will be able to see that I cannot do anything without Him. Hezekiah learned that. Nakilala niya na lumayo siya at naging mayabang siya, naging palalo siya. At nakakalimutan niya lahat ng mga pagpapalay nang galing sa Diyos. The Bible says, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. But I'd like to give a warning to you. Don't ask for this. Don't provoke God. And thirdly, God's grace and mercy always abound. What was first? Faith is what? Personal. It is not transferred by religiosity nor inherited by genealogy. Number two, sometimes the Lord would put man to severe affliction to bring him to repentance. But I am giving you a warning, don't ask for this. Don't you ever try God and test God and say, "Tinan ko nga?" You might not be able to live through it. Annalene could have restored herself for the Lord. She could have come back here and repented. And she could be still alive today. But no. She decided, no, it's not yet time. Until her time ran out. It's not yet time. No, I would have come back. It's not yet time. Until what happened? Her time ran out. You know, you don't give God a condition. It's God who gives the conditions. And by the way, you do not give God a deadline. Am I right? God gives you the deadline. You don't give God the cut-off date. Have you ever seen the company owner giving the cut of day to the client? No, always the client. You better deliver me this on this day or else. Same thing with God. Don't you ever try it. And don't do it. But still, when you look at all this, number three, God's grace and mercy always abound. In 2 Chronicles 32 verse 26, go back to it, it says, notwithstanding Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Nagrepent sa Hezekiah, naghumble down sa Hezekiah, nanumbalik sa Hezekiah sa Panginoon, at yung galit, yung judgment na dapat pumukol sa buong bansa, pinigilan ng Diyos. I forgot to bring the Inquirer newspaper. There's an article there about the Hurricane Katrina. It was horrible. If you have the chance to have that paper, read that. It was terrifying. Don't you ever tell, even by joking. Sige nga, bigyan na ako ng hurricane. Even by joking, don't you ever say that. Because you don't know what you're talking about. Even in jest, don't say it. 2 Chronicles 33 verse 1, verse 13, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. I like the last statement. It says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He knew. After this conversion, you can read again what Manasseh did. He was totally converted that he turned his nation around for God. If you would continue reading chapter 34, you go to Josiah. And Josiah remained faithful to God until the end of his life. Tama yung sinabi rito. You know, when we started and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Ibig sabihin niyan, all throughout his life, Josiah was faithful. And I think we ought to follow Josiah's example. All throughout his life, he was faithful. All throughout his life, he was straight. All throughout his life, he proved God. Never provoke the Lord. But then after him, Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah. Became king. But after reigning 3 months, the king of Egypt put him out. And made his brother Jehoiakim king. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And, as always, he did that what? Which was evil. Chapter 36. in the sight of the Lord. After that, Joachim reigned. Verse 9, third note here. I'd like to look at this for a while. It is surprising, and I was surprised myself looking at this. Why? Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. Sinong 8 years old dito? 8 years old. Huh? Wala. Okay. Just think. 8 years old. He became king. And he reigned only 3 months and 10 days. 8 years old, reigning 3 months and 10 days. Ito ang pinakamabigat. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. 8 years old. So meron bang edad ng kasamaan? Wala. The sin nature is there even before the baby is born. That sin nature is carried within him from the time he was conceived. He is born until his dying day. And don't you ever tell me there is an age limit to evil. None. At 8 years old, he was so evil. So don't you ever be flattered by the talents of your 8-year-old son. Don't you ever try to enjoy the antics of your little girl. Do you know why? Because at 8 years old, she can cause you shame. At 8 years old, he can be as bad as Ammon. Here it is. Make your decision. You're a family man. You're a career person. Huh? You are a preacher. You're a young man. You're a mother. You're a working person. And you are a Christian. Are you? So, you know, it's good for you to listen. Am I right? That's right. Because this is not a joking matter. This is serious. Nakatayo ako sa harap ninyo, isang pastor, isang career na pastor, isang professional, isang mataas na opisyal ng gobyerno, pero by the grace of God, hindi nalulunod sa sinasabi ng sanglibutan. I do not know many of you. And God did not call me to watch over you. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. And you have your angel that watches over you. I can't do it. But God told me to preach the word. Simply, the pure word of God. You do not listen? Well, I've done my best in my part. You listen? Good for you. You will get out of the many problems of life. And God will continue to bless you. Let's all stand. You know, you can kneel down tonight and still be proud in your own heart, because kneeling down does not mean anything. It is the heart that should be made contrite before God. You can kneel down and be a hypocrite and let others show that you know how to kneel down, that you know how to pray. But it does not mean anything at all. But to stand up and show your pride is worse. Am I right? Well, I would not kneel down because anyway, it would not change me at all. To stand up and exhibit your pride and say, look, I'm just being honest. Well, thank you for your honesty, but your honesty will not do you good. Be honest and be humble. That will do you good. You don't need to be a king to be proud. You only need to be a man to be proud. You heard the word of God, plain and simple, as pure as crystal. No breading at all, no flowery words, straight to the point. It is up to you now what you want to do with God's word. And with the warning that God is giving us tonight, it's up to you. It's not up to me. You have your plans, isn't it? And you want your plans to be fulfilled. But you know, your plans cannot be fulfilled without God. If ever you want your plans to be fulfilled without God, then let the devil be your partner. I challenge you. Make the devil your partner so you can make your plans better. But I'd be afraid if I do it. The devil is an evil and a tyrant master. And you will not enjoy him at all. Parents, you cannot transfer your faith to your children. But you can be a testimony and lead them to Christ, that they might also have the faith that God gives.